All right. So
you were saying that he was with these different, there were four sects in India.
There are four sects, main sects, yeah. Yeah, there are four Shankaracharyas in India who are the head of the orders in India. And those orders were initially formed by a philosopher in India 1,000 years ago, Shankaracharya. Shankara, philosophy. And he founded the schools of Vedanta. And there are four schools. There's one in Bangalore, and there's some other parts of India. I don't know. And Agananda was a bona fide, genuine Swami. Then he took a post teaching at a university in Delhi. He was teaching philosophy, Indian philosophy. He was a linguist. He spoke all the languages in India: Hindi, Urdu, Punjabi, Sanskrit. He spoke High Sanskrit, which is not only used in rituals and so forth, not spoken. But he ended up getting kicked out of India by the Indian government for his interest in he was caught. He was very broad-minded, and he was having affairs with some girls. And when they found out, they kicked him out of the university. India is very prude, very prude. Double standard. They're doing it all everywhere, but pretending not to do it. And so anyway, he ended up in Victoria, B.C., where his mother lived. She had migrated to Canada from Germany after the war was over. Had immigrated there to Canada. Canada was accepting lots of Germans then. I heard about him through a friend. I journeyed to Victoria, went to meet him, found him very interesting, and said, "Look, why don't you come to Seattle? You're just wasting your time here. You can get connected to the University of Washington, and with your background, they'll hire you, and you can get a post there." And he did. So he came to Seattle. He stayed with me at the center for a while. Took him to the university. He made contacts. Eventually, he got a job in the Far East Department, shifted out of the center, but he still kept in touch with me, and he used to give lectures and talks, and became part of he was part of the staff that we had at the center. And later on, I gave him his first LSD session at the center. So, okay?
So you meet him in 56, before the LSD happens. Now, do you want to talk about how the LSD entered into your world?
Well, David Wooster was I think he was staying at the center. He had a room there.
And he had the haunted house experience, need to recover, and he was in the basement apartment, yeah. And he was being by himself, and he says, "You came down and gave him a Krishnamurti book."
Yeah. Well, anyway, David said, "Oh, my God." He said, "I've had the most incredible experience last night." I said, "What?" And he was still high, you know. And I could see that he was high. And I said, "Well, what was it?" And he said, "Well, I don't know, but the guy told me it was something like mescaline." I had taken peyote with Connie prior to this LSD experience. So I knew a little bit about the psychedelic experience from my ingestion of peyote. So David said, you got to try it, you got to meet this guy. So he gave me the phone number, or he called, I don't know which, and anyway, he arranged for me to meet Elliot Craig. And I met Craig, and we organized a party of 5 of us. There was three guys and Connie's sister Vivian and her roommate, Lizzie. And so we went to Craig's, to a little house he had, and a little tiny house, somewhere out in the north part of Seattle, and he gave us the LSD. He didn't say it was LSD. He said it was a peyote juice. You know, he was very secretive, paranoid. So anyway, we took LSD. We had this incredible experience, first trip, and that launched my interest in psychedelics. And shortly after that, I was able to get LSD directly from Sandoz with the help of Elliot's friend. What's his name? The chiropractor?
Stan Collins. Stan Collins.
he came over and said, "What'd you think of your trip?" I said, "Great." He said, "Do you want some?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, call Sandoz," and he gave me the number. He told me what to do, and I called him on the spot and got it within 5 days. And we got 100 milligrams, which is 2,000 hits of 100 micrograms each of LSD, and it was legal.
And was it, is that of that batch, is what you still have some left?
Yeah, I got another batch.
You got one after, but about 50 yeah. years ago. You got it 50 years ago.
No. I had another batch after that. We got another 100 milligrams later.
How many years later?
Just within a short time. A month.
Right.
I just ordered a backup batch.
But that's 50 years. That's 50 years ago, and you still have some of it.
Yeah.
You still have some of it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, Dave talks about what he heard about your first trip from Elliot Craig is that at one point you freaked out. You sort of mention it in your book, and you don't go into it in the book, but Dave says that you thought Elliot was the devil, and you were running down the street. Do you recall that?
Yeah. No. I don't know, David, he elaborates on these things and so forth. I was suspicious of Craig because he was paranoid when he gave us the drug. And that created suspicion, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he wasn't telling me what is it he gave us? I was wondering, you know. Whatever it is, it's incredible. So anyway.
So that intensified your fear because he was projecting the paranoia.
Yeah, but I got over it, you know. During the night, I got over the paranoia I had. And I did see hell, you know. I saw everything.
I saw everything. You saw evolution? Did you go back to the primals?
I don't know. You know, it just opened up the doors of perception, and I was seeing everything. You know.
Did you see evolution? I didn't. Did you go back to the slime and work your way through crocodiles and animal form?
Not that night, but at another session, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, how did that alter your view of Krishnamurti and what you were doing at the center?
Well, I didn't know what Krishnamurti's viewpoint was on psychedelics. At that time, nothing was written, and he knew Huxley very well, Krishnamurti. They were very good friends. Huxley was taking LSD at this time. And mescaline, he had had experiences, and I think Hubbard was his, or some Canadian doctor was the ones that gave Huxley his first trips. I don't know the history of it for sure.
Yeah, Humphrey Osmond.
Yeah, yeah, but Hubbard was a friend also.
And, right. Tell us how you met Hubbard. Now Hubbard comes into this after Craig, right?
Yeah, we'll have to make that another time. I think it's running out of time right now.
That's okay, you want to end, or do you have a few more things to say about?
Yeah, we'll begin the Hubbard.
The
Johnny Appleseed of LSD.
Yes.
Spreading his joy. Yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, I met Hubbard, and we'll go into that, and we'll go into my viewpoints of LSD and has its value and not value, and hippies, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, so that would be, we will do that in about next Sunday, if it works out, next Sunday and Monday. We'll meet again.
Okay, fine. Okay, let's keep in touch.
Yes, Robert.
We'll be in touch. It's been enjoyable. Thank you. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye. Goodbye.